The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Brachot, Barachim Yibin Chavot Yerushalayim, is Daf Mem. And today we're going to start the sugya of a Hefzek Bebracha. What exactly the problem is? Hefzek Bracha is a serious issue between the Rishonim, and it seems to make a serious difference in how to learn here, whether it's done in Hesach Hadat, or whether it's built in into the nature of the Bracha per se. In other words, the Bracha has to be evidently connected to what it is that it's being made on. Whether you had in mind the whole time, without ever, so you make a mistake or something like that. But nonetheless, it was an honest mistake. You still intended to make the wrong Bracha, let's say. Does that mean that that's Hesach Hadat? So you have to start your Havdalah over again, or something like that? Or is it simply a question of the actual relationship of the bracha? Bracha doesn't belong there. A bracha that isn't directly associated with the food is considered to be as a hadat. Is considered to be a hafsaka is a question. But let's take a look, starting at the very, very top of the daf. Omar Rav, someone who cut the challah, made the bracha, hasn't eaten himself, and starts handing out the piece of bread and says, Tol Baruch, come on, take a piece of the pot of bracha, giving each of the orchim, and never tasting it himself until afterwards. That's not considered to be a hefsek, because clearly that is a continued involvement in the foodstuff. So it's neither hefsek hadas nor hefsekah. If he says, have melach, or have liftan, then it's tzarich levarech, because the melach and liftan is not what the bracha was on. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, afilo aviyu melach, aviyu liftan, is also considered to be not a hefsek, ain't tzarich levarech, because it's for the ochel, and it's in order to make the food tastier. But if he would say, Gabi Latoure, some say the reason we repeat this is because we need a minimum of three words to be a hefsaka, but it's like Shalom Alecha Mori, the idea of Toch Kedei Dibur. Hefsek requires, according to some, also a certain number of words. That's why we repeat Tol Baruch, or Gabi Latoure. In which case, Havei Melach, Havei Liftan would be one thing, not either. Havei Melach, Havei Liftan. There you'd be Tzarek Lavarech, because to say, prepare the animal food for the shore, that obviously is not the piece of bread that you're about to eat. Rav Sheshet Amar, no, that is considered not to be a hefsek. Afilo gabi laturi nami in a tzarek levarech, because it is an absolutely essential preparation for your own food. The Amar of Yonah Amarav, asur lo la'adam shiyochal kodim shiten ma'achal abem to. You are prohibited to eat until you have fed your animals. And this we could see directly from the Kriyat Shema. Shenemar binatati esev besadukha livhem techa, and only then beachalta besavata. So that first we take care of the animals, then we take care of the humans. Omer Rava Bashmu Mishon Rebichiena Botzea, Rishai Livtsoa, Achiavia Melacha Liftam, Lifne Kalachat Viachat. You do not make that bracha in such a way that is going to cause a hefsek afterwards. So you got a table full of people, then now you're going to start handing out the bread, and you're going to have to, bring some dip for him, bring some melach, but first prepare the dip and the salt. V'yomar, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, who was the one who said this, once himself personally came to the house of the Reish Galuta, and they brought him the bread to be botzea for the entire table. Now he went ahead and was botzea la'adiyah without waiting to make sure that everybody had. So they asked him, now wait a minute, Adamar Mishmaita, you changed your mind? I mean, you were the one who said, never say that broth until everyone's prepared. Amalo, gentlemen, we're eating the chal of Rebbetz and Reish Galuta. Certainly you don't think that that bears any improvement. Late Dane Tzarek Boshesh, bread like this requires no additional waiting. Boshesh is lashon ki Boshesh Boshel Eretz Benahar, taking too much time. We don't have to wait for anything. In other words, if it's good bread and it has in it, it doesn't require any further taste, and as a matter of fact, you don't want to salt it, contains all the ingredients that it needs, then it doesn't require what I said before, to bring melach aliftan. That's to make it palatable. Man, this is plenty palatable. Once we're on Rav Bar Shmuel giving us practical advice, he's telling us that Ein Mei Raglayim Kalin Ela B'Yeshiva. I remember in those days they used to wear skirts, not pants, as some still do today. And therefore, if you're urinating, the last thing that you want is to dribble urine on your own leg or shoes, and therefore people would basically cut off their urine stream before the point of dribbling. Therefore, Rabkia was quoted as saying, it's only if you're actually going to sit on a toilet, or in those days squat, that you'll actually complete urinating. The Omer of Kahana, well, obviously standing is the best way to urinate, so because that way you're going to have a better chance using gravity to get rid of anything in your bladder. So if you've got something soft that you're not concerned about splattering, then of course you could stand. There's always an alternative, you know, you could just go off the porch. You know. So that way you're Omer b'makom gavoa, v'yashtin l'makom midron, and no problem. V'yomer Rav Avashmu mishmei de Rabkia. Another rule of practicality, whatever you ate, this the Ramah says, is only referring to cases where there were no salt in what you ate. So whatever it is you did eat, eat a little bit of salt afterwards. Whatever it is you did drink, and here to the Ramah, it's only talking about if what you drank was pure. Let us see that pure wine. Make sure you drink a little bit of water afterwards. Of course, our wine, which is mixed anyway, is something that doesn't require additional water. So akhakoshti atcha, which does not contain additional water, just as natural water, obviously, in it, shteimayim, drink pure water. And that way, yatan izok, you're not going to come to any problems in your tummy. Tanya namiachi, the bright also says, akhakol akhilatcha, echol melach, veakhakoshti atcha, shteimayim, yatan izok. There's another bright that says, ochal kol ma'achal, if you ate some food that didn't contain salt, and you didn't eat any melach afterwards, or shatako mashkin, which didn't include pure water, v'lo shata mayim, and you didn't drink pure water afterwards, v'yom yidag ben reach apeh, during the day, you got to watch out, don't talk to anybody, because you're going to have bad halitosis. And v'layla yidag b'pnei askra, at night, you've got to be careful of not choking to death. Of course, you've got plenty of reflux, and that can bring you to actual askra, which is choking. Tana rabbana. If you actually float your food on lots of liquid, then that way you're going to have loose bowels. Loose bowels are the best thing not to get into stomach trouble. Now, what do we mean by floating? Omrapista kiton lapat, a standard pitcherful for a standard lachmania. Omrapmori omrapyochan ragil ba'adashim. Someone who will eat lentils once every 30 days is going to be monea askra mitok veto. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Beito, in this case, is reference to the house of your soul, which is your body. And so you'll keep askara off yourself. That's the choking. And don't eat it too often, though, you know. Avokol yumalo. Don't think that just because a little is good, more is better. Common mistake. My taima mishem dekarshal reach apeh. That's going to make you smell. V'yomer of Mori. No. Adashim. No. Lentils. Omer of Mori, Omer of Yochan. Haragil b'chardal. Having some nice strong mustard once every 30 days is also moneach ala imitov beto, keeps the doctor away. But don't eat too much of it, avokol yumalo. My taima, mishum de kasha lechusha de liba, it makes you suffer heart palpitations. Maybe that's the solution, Richard. Barry, it's the mustard. It's got to be the mustard.
Cut the mustard.
Would that be seen as heartburn? No, chusha de liba is palpitation. Actually, in Yiddish, chusha de liba is difficult to getting enough oxygen. So, you eat herring, sardines, oh man, ain't nobody day calling me ayin. You're not going to get any stomach troubles. Not to mention the fact that dagim ktanim, they really do it for you. They're mafrinu, marbinu, mavrinet, kogu foshel adam. They really keep you awake, you know, and they make your whole body super vibrant. Omer b'chamaber, that's, you don't need Viagra if you eat herring, Richard. Omer b'chamaber, Rebbe Chanina. Harago b'ketzah, if you, they just started marketing these crackers over here, they give them out on the planes now with ketzah, with the cumin seeds, the black, very, very sharp, very delicious. Ain't nobody de ke'ev leiv, you're not going to have any heart pain. How do you say that? If Reb Shimon Gamliel says ketzach is one of the biggest 60 best poisons, samanei hamavet, and if you go to sleep to the mizrach of the goren of a whole pile of ketzach at night, you've got a damp wind coming out of the west. Oh God, you ain't going to wake up. Domover Osho, you are responsible for your own blood. So how do you say that ketzach is a good thing to eat? No, it is.
The difference, Lokasha Barecha, Batamo, we're talking about the smell if you're sleeping. You're obviously not eating it. You're inhaling it. Inhaling it has got something in there that's going to really cause damage in your lungs, but here we're talking about eating it. Some things are very good for eating. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yirmi has mommy. He made Rabbi Yirmi Afle Rifto Medapkele Makalpele. What she used to do is she would cook him, bake him some delicious ketzach lachmaniot, and then she would take off the ketzach so that he wouldn't be smelling it, and that way she would get the good ingredient to eat in the bread, but he wouldn't be damaged by the smell in his little school bag. So we had a machloket about whether borei pri adama is the bracha to make on veggies, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, look, it depends. If you're talking about a leafy vegetable, that's basically, that's a grass that you're eating. And therefore, you should say, borei mine disha in, it's one of the desha that covers the earth. We do not paske that way. We have a generalized bracha for all types of things that grow directly from the ground. It's called borei pri adama. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that the more specific we are on the bracha, the better, closer we are to what the bracha has to be? He says, look, it says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Now, what does that mean? You only are Baruch Hashem in the daytime. Therefore, the meaning of Yom Yom means every day according to its specific nature. Sometimes it's Shabbat, and sometimes it's Chag. You've got to have a bracha for each particular day. And therefore, if that's the case, it's teaching me, don't just have generalized brachot. If that's the case, the species should have a species-specific bracha. This is again, we're continuing the same Rabbi Zervi Temer Rabbanina Bar Papa that Paskin against Rabbi Yehuda. Note that things are different when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives things than when a human gives things. A Bosser Vadam, and when you have a Kli that doesn't have anything in it now, it's got room to hold something. So Reikan Machazi, but if it's Malay, there's no room to hold anything else. With a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's the exact opposite. The more full the Kli is, the more it holds. But if it's empty, then it doesn't hold anything. Shemar Bayomar Im Shamoa Tishma. Im Shamoa Tishma, but Im Lav Lo Tishma. Davar Acher Im Shamoa B'Yashan. If you're going to sit there and keep reviewing what it is that you've already learned, then you're going to be able to absorb more learning. Then Tishma B'Chadash. But Im Yifaneli Vavcha, if you turn aside from what you learned already, believe me, you're not going to learn anything new. So it's a function of building on what you already have, not starting afresh. And that's basically where you've got a full kli, you can keep adding to it. Zakrelika Mishnah, Birech al Perota Ilan, Borei Pri Adama, Yatsa. If you say on a fruit, by mistake, Borei Pri Adama, instead of Borei Pri, it should still be Yotze, because basically the tree itself is simply translating the Adama into the Pri. The Al Perota Aretz, Borei Pri Aetz Lo Yatsa. And if you make a bracha on the tree, Borei, on a veggie, the bracha for a tree, Borei Pri Aetz, then you're not Yotze, because it's not an Aetz. The Al Kulam, on any of the species, Imamar Shakol Nieh Bidvaro, in general, you would be Yotze, because that's the generalized bracha. Shehakol, all things, Nieh Bidvaro, have come into being through the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mantana, the Iker Ilan Arahi, who is the author of this Mishnah, who's telling us that when you say Borei Pri Adama about the perot of a tree, you're still addressing the Iker Ilan, which is the earth. Omar of Nachum, it's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not, the question over here is, in terms of the Mishnah Bikurim, somebody picks his Bikurim, and meanwhile the water supply in his field dries out. Now he's in real tzoras. He's going to go up to Yerushalayim, and he's going to thank the good Lord for the good earth. The good Lord is going to detect a little bit of cynicism in the good earth comment. So when he says, "Ev al ha'adama shenatatali," crap, it's not going to sound very good. And therefore, it's better not to bring the Bikurim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So The Tzan, Yavash, I'm according to Tanagama, Yavash Mayan, when he Ksat Ceylon, you picked your, whatever it was, the Tvarim, your Shivat Aminim, you put them in your cell, you bring them up to Yerushalayim, but meanwhile the tree has been cut down. So you cannot talk about the Adama, because now the Adama is in bad shape. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a problem, because you're always talking about the earth. You're never talking about the ancillaries. So therefore, the water is not the issue, the tree is not the issue, it's all about the Adama. In which case, here too, saying Borei Pri HaAdama, that's the essential point. Al Perot Haaretz, now the Mishnah said that Al Perot Haaretz, if you say Borei Pri HaAtz, then you're not going to be Yotzev. Well, obviously you're not going to be Yotzev, and it's a joke. What does the water have to do with it? Pshita. Omrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak, well, yes, to most people it would be Pshita. But what we're going according to over here is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Chita is called a type of tree. And if that's the case, it means that we are defining the earth in a different way, obviously, when we're talking about a Prore Priya Eitz for the earth. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's perfectly acceptable. If you're referring to Tvua, that's a type of tree. How do we know he holds that? The Tzani, the Brayta says, Ilan Shachal Mimenu Adam HaRishon. What was the essence of that tree? Was it, as Apple insists, an apple? Or was it something else? Rabbi Meir says, obviously, it was the grape. Because looking at history, it all starts with alcoholism. From there, it goes on to heroin consumption. But the thing that was the problem all along was the alcohol of the grape. You see, it just keeps on going. Noach does the same thing. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, no, it was clearly a fig. Haven't you ever heard of a fig leaf? So therefore, it's a te'ina. Shebedavar shenit kalkalu bo nitaknu. It must be, I mean, why did they take fig leaves? It's got to be because the fig was the problem in the first place. And therefore, as the Medrash says, no other species was willing to be a partner in crime. And so you tried to make some kind of other baguette, the tree would run away from you. But the fig is a partner in crime. Shenemar vayitperu ale te'ina. This is why in Yiddish, when you want to curse somebody out, you say, ah, fig out here. Throw a fig on you. And it's going all the way back to the essence of evil. But Rabbi Yehuda says it was clearly a chita. Because in hatinok yodea likrot abba ve'ima, achitom tam dagan. You see that an infant learns to speak after they start eating cereal. And therefore it means, since speech is a function of da'at, it must be that da'at is related to cereals. So therefore, since he holds that the chita is a type of tree, so chita min ilani, you should be able to actually say a borei priya eitz. And therefore the Mishnah is coming to tell me, kamashvalan, that the definition of borei priya eitz is eichem avarchinam borei priya eitz, eichet edich shakalta leila peri, ite legav zavadar mafi. The borei priya eitz means that the eitz exists separately from the pri, and has a kiyum separately from the pri, which would mean, therefore, that if you pick something off of it, the eitz survives for another year's growth. But if you pick a chita off of the stalk, you're left with a dead stalk. It's not going to grow again next year. So echadiki shakalta leleperi lete legav zadar amafi. If there's nothing left that is going to bring out another one, there you cannot say borei priya eitz, because there is no eitz that exists as a separate entity than the pri, and you'd have to make a borei priya adama, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'alkulam imamar shakol niyeh bidvaro yatsa. Itmar Rav Huna says, well, now, al-kulam is only a reference to the most recent things. It's only a reference to the borei priya eitz, the borei priya adama, you could say a shakol. But if you are talking about bread or wine, you can't say a shakol niyeh bidvaro, because the whole point of bread and wine was the chashivut and the yichud and the shinui l'mal yuta. And therefore, you wouldn't have any of that if you made the generalized bracha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu pat v'yayinami. You could also say a shakol niyeh bidvaro, and b'diavad, you would be yotzei. Shall we say that this machloket Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is in fact a well-known machloket of Tanaim? Because we do have a Tosefta that goes like this. Somebody is walking by a bakery and he sees, oh, This beautiful bread, the good Lord was so gracious in creating. May he be blessed. That's it. Your yotzi. Don't make another bracha on the bread. Ra'at te'ina. Vama, wow. What a beautiful te'ina. Baruch ha'makom shebara'ah. You can pop it into your mouth and your yotzi. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Kol ha'nishane. Mimatbea shetav'u chachamim bebrachot. Lo yatza yedei chavato. If you don't stick to the concrete girsa that the chachamim were kovea, you are not going to be yotzi, according to Rabbi Yossi. So apparently, Rav Huna, who says, no, you can't say a shahakol, he is holding like Rabbi Yossi. You have to stick to the matbea. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, the bottom line is, you said it's nice, and you were mevarach Hashem, shakol mi'abidvaro, you should be yotzi on pat too. I'm looking for, what are you talking? This has nothing to do with our machlokes. What Rav Huna would respond to that would be, Ana d'amrei afilu Rabbi Meir, what I'm saying has nothing to do with this. I would hold that Rabbi Meir in this case would agree with me. And he would say, look, what did Rabbi Meir say over there? You're walking by the bakery. But what did you say? You said, wow, what a beautiful loaf of bread. Now, when you say shakol niyabidvaro, did you say anything about bread? No. So I can look up at Rabbi Meir, at least you mentioned the bread, and you gave the bracha to the good Lord for the bread. But when you say shakol niyabidvaro, you make no mention of the bread at all. And that has nothing to do with nachlokas bread. Rabbi Meir wouldn't have held that's a good bracha. There I feel a Rabbi Meir about it. Rabbi Yochanan's response to that would have been Amalekha. Anadame afilu Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi have to do with me? Rabbi Yossi said over there, you're not Yotze. Because, what is this? Baruch Rachmana. Did the Chachamim ever say a brach like that? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Blessed is the Lord today. They never made such a brach. So therefore, okay, you're not Yotze. Well, obviously you're not Yotze. But over here you said a shahako. It's a right bracha in the wrong place. Now maybe over there you made a bracha, the Tikkun Rabbanan. So Amar Shakoni, a bit of a roll, I feel Rabbi Yossi would be moda, that would be fine. Binyamin, the famous shepherd, used to carry around his sandwiches. Korich Riftan, he ate, and then at the end, instead of saying Birkat HaMazon, he would say, Berich Mori Dai Pita. Blessed is the Lord of this bread. Amar, that's good. Yatsa. What? Yatsa? I thought, didn't Rav say that Kol Bracha Shein Ba Hazkarat Hashem in Abracha? Didn't he say if you don't mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? I mean, over here you're saying the owner of the bread, it all belongs to the boss. I mean, but who's the boss? You have to say. Now, well, we skipped that part. Actually, what he said was, Brich Rachmana Mori Dahai Pita. Now, that's clearly a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lover.
People say we need the rabbi to bless the bread.
But wait a minute, I mean, even so, what happened to Birkat HaMazon has three brachot? I mean, how could you be yotze? V'obin and shalosh brachot. Yeah, well, you don't mean you're yotze. We mean my yotze, the kamarav. He means you were yotze yedei bracha rishonav, hazan. You basically said the zan. So then, what's the chiddush? My kamash, I mean, you said it. Is the chiddush because you were talking English, or in this case, Aramaic? Afagav dan rabalosh and chol? I mean, that's a beferish mishnah. The following thing says the Mishnah, the following things may be said in any language. Parashat Sota, this of course is the Mishnah in Sota. Vidui Maaser, amazing how many references to this week's Kriya there are on this page. Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, Birkat HaMazon. So I don't need him to tell me Beferish Mishnah, do I? Yes, I do. Because it's Rechzal Kadate Chamina, Hanimida da Amra Beloshon Chol, Ki Echet Akin Rabbana Beloshon Kodesh. I would say, okay, you can get an approximation of a bracha through translation, but it's got to be a literal translation. You can't just say something that has the. Just to make up a generalized version? Imala? Nonetheless, Kamashman, that's what the Kiddush is, that the first bracha, you would indeed be Yotze in this fashion. I remember when I was a kid, it was always shocking to me. My parents had never taught me that way. But when I would visit with my cousin, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, was a little boy, you know, so he was 3 years old. The bracha that he was taught by his parents, which always came as a shock, was Brich Rachmana Mora de Alma, which doesn't turn into Mora. Brich Rachmana Mora de Alma, Mora de Hai Pita. Of course, his father would always say, Pita! But that was what his parents had taught him, coming straight out of his Gemara. It was beautiful. Gufa. You just mentioned that Rav said if you don't speak the Shem Hashem, it's not called a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not enough to say the Shem Hashem, and this, of course, is the reason that the Pinkus has added that part, because you need also Malchut, the Alma, the Malchut in a bracha. Omer Abaye, actually, it's more reasonable to say like Rav, that you don't need to mention Malchut, you just need to say Brochat Hashem. You don't have to say Melech Olam. Detanya, lo avarti bi mitzvotecha v'lo shachachti. That means, says the writer, lo avarti bi mitzvotecha. Another reference to this week's parasha. Lo avarti milavarech v'lo shachachti milazkir shimcha alav. Notice it doesn't say anything about Malchut. You know, Malchut lo katani, apparently Rav is correct based on the analysis of these words. But Rabbi Yochanan, what's he going to do with this? Says Rabbi Yochanan, well, it's pretty easy. Just add that in, huh? The correct girsa, obviously, is not just the shame. It's also the malchut. Let's say you have chometz. Now, chometz cannot be included in wine because it's ruined wine. Well, see that we never say on something that is not at its best and is just edible. That's not the special bracha. That becomes a shakol by definition. V'al ha-novelot, we're going to define what that means in the Gemara. V'al ha-govai, which is locusts, kosher locusts, of course. You say shakol ni'ebidvoro. Rabbi Yehuda says, you do not say a bracha at all over something which is a min klala. To have your wine turn into vinegar is a curse. To have a locust coming into your field, I mean, it's all very nice that the Thailanders, you know, that work here, they grab them and pop them into their mouth, but that doesn't change the fact that it's a min klala. You don't make a bracha on that. Does that mean that you can be nenem in ha'olam b'li bracha? Not necessarily. Some of the Rishonim say, according to him, it would mean you'd have to make the same bracha on something else, which is a min bracha, and then you can eat it. Are you enough of minin harbe? How about if you have all kinds of plate of all kinds of different fruits? Which comes first? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bo'im yesh b'neihem min shiva, if you have one of the shivat ha-minim, you always will say that first. Alavu mevorech. The chachamim omrim, first of all comes what you enjoy. And that's what the bracha is all about. So the kedima is mevorech lezmeim shiyirtse. Tana rabbanon, dal davar shein gedolo min ha-aretz, something that didn't grow directly from the ground. So I said, you have meat, you have chicken. So besar be'mot chayot ofot. You have fish. You say shakol ni'ebidvaro. On milk, on eggs, on cheese. Amer shakol. But even on bread that's become moldy, pachi ipsha, or wine that's got itself already a layer of molchi cream, or tafshil shavar tzurato, or you've got even a, you know, quiche, or the tafshil mizonot, but it's no longer at its best. So it's old, it's been sitting in the fridge for a while. You no longer say mizonot. You say a shakol. Al hamelach valazamit. If you've got salt, as we mentioned earlier, zamit, most learn it's salt water, others learn it's soup, clear soup. The alchemim upitriot, if you've got some truffles or mushrooms, you say shako. What? Shako? Lamema the kameim upitriot love you do like karkaninu? Are you trying to tell me that truffles and mushrooms are not considered to have grown from the ground to say a bore priyatama? The atanya, hanodermi peirota arts. Somebody who asserts himself with a netter on the fruit of the earth, asurbe peirota arts, but he's mutar the kameim upitriot, he'd be allowed to eat mushrooms. But if he says, anything that grows off the ground is asur, then he would be asur of the kmeinu pitriot. So apparently, kmeinu pitriot are considered to be gidulei karka. Amra Abaye, no, let's understand. Mirba rovu mi'ar. It's true they need an attachment to the ground in order to absorb moisture that falls on the ground, but minki lo yanke mi'ar. They are not dependent in any of the minerals, nourishment, and so on. They do not suck up nourishment from the ground, which is why they don't have any roots. But that says I'll call davar al davar she'en gidulo min ha'aretz, and you're saying they are gidulo min ha'aretz, so you haven't answered anything. Well, sorry. Then change that. Tni al davar she'en yonek min ha'aretz, something that doesn't put down roots to suck up its nourishment from the ground. You say shakol. Sorry. Yes.
What are kamehim?
I use truffles, and that seems to be the mashma'ut, because a truffle is a type of fungus that grows deep underground. It doesn't have a fruiting body that comes out on top. The truffle grows from little strands that grow underground, that when they meet each other and are capable of reproducing, if they're types that can reproduce, they form little fruiting bodies under the ground. That's why they use piggies to find them, because you can't see them. And the pig, pigs are very attracted to them. You've seen the truffle shirt, right? You must have seen a picture of the guy holding the big boars or pigs, and they're going running around. I mean, these things are worth hundreds of dollars per ounce. They're worth more than gold. So that's the only way you find them.
Yeah. It's not a root.
It's not a root. No, it's a fruiting body of a fungus, and the little strands are reproductive strands. They're not roots for a purpose of nourishment. It's interesting that just this year they found out that all things are bogomized. Truffles were always defined by the way grapes were. You know, what the year was and what the ground is and what the... It was very, very connoisseur-oriented. They just found out that 99% of the issues of a truffle is genetically defined. It's not defined by the earth. As a matter of fact, you could actually make the truffle to order genetically. Obviously, you need to put a little time into getting this done, but that's the plan. Now that's going to be the end of the truffle market, a disaster. If you're holding shares in truffles, now is the time to sell, gentlemen. Okay, continue. So we've got to learn, therefore, that it's eno yonik. The Alahan novelot. What exactly are novelot? I mean, I understand the word novel is something that's falling off, or that's losing its surah. What is the specific meaning? Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Lo argue about this. Chanamer bushlei kimara, v'chanamer tamre dizia. So one learns that what it's referring to is bushlei kimara is srufei chama, burned by the sun. They've become ruined on the tree and are really tasteless now, and it's not a quality fruit at all. The other Mandi Omar says it means dates blown down in a storm. Now, later on, we're going to ask what is bad about that. So, Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shumin klala ein mevorchin alav. Now, how does this fit in? Anything which is a klala, obviously referring to the novlot. So, bishlam lamandi Omar bushlei chimara. Okay, I know that's been klala because it's been burned, and so we call shtufei kadim and things like that, that the tree is no longer valuable. But according to Mandi Omar, it says it fell off the tree by being blown off. I mean, so? Why does that mean klala? Well, he'll have to say that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't referring to that particular case. He was talking about the chagav and other things that are, chomet, but he wasn't referring to the case of the novlot. Igidiyam is another lush, and that puts it another way. Bishlam in the Mandi Omar bushlei chimara. I know the Moravachin alayu shakol. I understand if the fruit is ruined, why you say a shakol niyabidvaro. Forget about Rabbi Yehuda. But according to Mandi Omar, who says that all it means is tamar dezika, why in the world would you say shakol? Bore priya itzmi by leil vruche deserves a normal bracha. You're right. Benovlot stamakuli amalo pligi de bushle chamaraninu. When you're talking about the word novlot used alone without an additional connected word, it's definitely referring to minklala, and it's a breakdown in the fruit, and therefore you don't make a bore priya itzmi. Therefore it is a minklala. The machlok that we mistakenly quoted between Reb Zera and Rabbi Elaz, if it were nogea, our Mishnah is actually referring to something else. And that is novlot timara, not novlot stam. And that is a reference to the Mishnah in Dumai, the Tzadon HaKalin Shepet Dumai, places where the Chachomim were matir, buying something from Amoritz, and not needing to take off Dumai, Sofik Maaser, that is Min Rabbana, are things that the Amoritz would not hesitate to take Maaser off from, because it's not even worth anything, so what the heck? Why not Maaser it already? So therefore, that includes Shitin, Rimin, Ozardin, Benot Shoach, Benot Shikma, Gufanim, Nitzpa, we're going to go through these, Vinov Lo Tamara. Ah, that Lashon of Lo Tamara, that's where there was a tzad to say, things you collect from the ground, is not worth anything? But that I get it for free, easy come, easy go. That's a different issue. That's the Gabi Kalin Shibit Demai. But that's not what our mission is dealing with. By the way, what exactly are these things? So, Shitin, Omer Rabba Baruch Hanan Rav Yochanan, it's a type of te'ina. Rimin, does anybody have English, like an English translation or pictures of these particular meaning? Well, this is the Neusteinsalt, supposedly makes an actual attempt to really identify things. So this is excellent. They've changed all the pictures. Mm-hmm. They finally realized there's no connection between the picture and the daf. I spoke to the guys doing it. Are you going to redo the pictures that show what it is? And they said, no, this time we're going to extend. They knew. Okay, so here we've got an actual, this beautiful pictures of shiteen, jujube bees, they're suggesting are rimin, and they've got little pictures of it. Ozardin hawthorn that grows on a benot shikma. They've got a beautiful picture of benot shikma that they're wild figs, basically tasteless, and they're not considered to be a chosh of a fig.
We know what the jujube bees.
Yeah, you do see these. So these are rimin.
Two cycles.
You see them here. Would I be able to maybe borrow this from you to put it up on? Okay, great. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. I'm happy to see it. Great. So, Benot Shikma, Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Yochanan Dubli, and is the losh that we had over in the Braita, which was some say, and he doesn't bring this, some say that this is the fig that is crossed with an Armon chestnut, which is interesting. The Shgufni that we're talking about over here, Shiloi Gufni, it's the end of the season where they're never going to ripen. Nitzva, of course, we had before, but the Tzlaf, Spirichal, and it was here on the Vlot Mora, that's where we had the Machlokes Rabbi Lo and Rabbi Zera, Chanom Rabush Lekimora, Vechanom Etarmi Dezika. Now we ask over there, Bishlam Lamanda Mubushlechamora. That explains why the halach is that Kalim Shibidamai, that the suffix, okay, I don't have to take Dumai, it's butter. But if it was Vadai, then I would be Chayef. But if you're learning that it means figs, that dates that have been blown off by the wind and are lying Hefker, I don't have to take off, even if I know Vada that they weren't mice. What does this have to do with Kalim Shibitamai? Lamandi or Retirement of Zikan? Why would Vada'an be Chayav? It's Hefker. And it's talking about that you collected all of the hefker from the ground, you piled them up, and you essentially were mechayim them that way by creating a goren for maaser. Om Reb Yitzchak, Om Reb Yochanan, the Amoritz did it. Mishum Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, aleket vashikcha vapeah, which are essentially hefker, where nobody's taking them and nobody's going to come back for them. They're all potter from maaser. But if you went ahead and asan goren, where the oni took them and made a goren from them, then who? They become chayiv. Now, what other lashon is? If you're going to tell me that the novlot tamara are the tamarim that have been blown down by the wind, that would explain why in our Mishnah we find novlot and stam without saying novlot of tamara, but in the Mishnah in Demai it calls them novlot tamara because they're two different things. But if you're going to tell me bushle chamara in both cases, how come we change the reference? So either both Mishnayot should use the word novlot tamara, or either the Yidi should use the word novlot stama. Kasha, that is a problem. Not a disaster, but it's a problem. Omar Rab, Tobro, Eino Tzirich Lavarech, Ave Melach, Ave Lifta, Tzirich Lavarech. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilo, Aviu Melach, Aviu Lifta, Nami, Tzirich Lavarech. But Gabalaturi, Tzirich Lavarech, Rav Sheshit Amar, Afilo Gabalaturi, Nami, Tzirich Lavarech. The Omer of Yiram Rab, Asur Ladam Sheochal, Kodim Sheitein Ba'achal Avemto, Shinema Vinatati, Esu Besadach Alavemtecha, first, and only Hodar, V'achalta V'savarata. Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya in Abotzei Rishai Liftzoa Ad Shaviyu Melach Aliftan Lifnei Kol Echad V'Echad Rabba Bar Shmuel Ikla Levei Resh Galuta Fikul Ei Rifta U'Botzo La'adei without waiting. Omar Le what? Hod Amar Mishmaitite? Omar Lehu, ah, come on, Chala like this. Late then, Tzorech Boshesh. Mi Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya Ein Meiraglan Kalim Ela B'Yeshiva Omar Rav Kana U'Bofer Tichoach Afilu Ba'amida V'Yileka Ofer Tichoach Yamod B'mokom Gavoa V'yashkin L'mokom Midron. Mi Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya Achar Kol Achilatecha Echo Melach V'achar Kol Shtiyatecha Shtei Mai V'yata Nizog Tanyam Yachra Achare Kol Achilatecha Echo Melach V'achar Kol Shtiyatecha Shtei Mai V'yata Nizog Tani Irav Acho Kol Ma'achal V'lo Achal Melach Shata Kol Mashkin V'lo Shata Maim B'yom Yidag Min Reach HaPer U'V'layla Yidag Mipnei Askira Tana Rabbanan Makpeh Achilato B'mayim Eino Balidei Cholim Yayim V'kama Omer Chista Kiton Nepat Omer Mori Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ragil Ba'adashim Achat V'shloshim Yom Monei Askira Mitoch Beito Aval Kol Yuma. Not a good idea. My time is from the Koshul Reach HaPeh. The Omer Mori Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ragil Bechardal Achat V'shloshim Yom Monei Acholayim Mitoch Beito Aval Kol Yuma Lo. My time is from the Koshul Chushit Liba. Omrav Gabarashi Omarava Ragil Bidagim Ktanim Enobalide Holy Mahaim. Veloel Shadagim Ktanim Mafrin Umar Bin Mavrin Kolgo for Shaladam. Omrav Kamar Bachanina Ragil Biketzach Enobalide Kevle. Made for a criminal meal on a ketzach, Hakabishim Samane Amavetu, Vayashen, Lemizrah Gorono, Dom Obrosho, Lokash, Abrecho, Habitam of Ime, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, Afilei Rifta, Umad Bikle, and then Makalfale. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bore Minedi Shem Omer, Vizervitem Rabbechanina Bar Papa, in Alachak Rabbi Yuda, Leom, Vizervitem Rabbechanina Bar Papa, my time with the Rabbi Yirmiyah Krabor Hashem Yom Yom. What's that supposed to mean? Vachim Yom of Archimoto, Belaila Him of Archimoto, El Lomar Lacha Kol Yom Vyom. Ten lo me in birkotav. If that's the case, economical min the mean. Ten lo me in birkotav. You know, Rabbi Zervi, Temer, Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa. Bo, Rei Shaloki, Midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midat Basar Vadam. Midat Basar Vadam, clear a can machasi. Malay no machasi. Gavla Kadosh Baruch Hu, no can. Malay machasi. But a can no machasi. Shnam Rabbi Yomer, Im Shamoa Tishma. Im Shamoa Tishma. But Im Lav, Lo Tishma. Dabar Acher, Im Shamoa B'yashan, Tishma B'chadash. Im Yefane Levavcha, Shuv Lo Tishma. Birach, Al Pirot Ilan Borei Priya, Adama Yatsa. Al Pirot Arz Borei Priya, It Lo Yatsa. Ve'al Kulam, Im Amar Shakon Yebid Voro, Yatsa. Man Tana Diker Ilan Ir Arahi, Omer Nagma Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Vasham Ayan, Niktsatsa Ilan, Mevi Veino Kore, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevi Ve Kore. Al Perot Haaretz, obviously, how can you say I ate some Perot Haaretz? Omer Nagma Yitzchak Lonitzchak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the Chita was a min Ilan, the Tanya. Ilan Shachal Mimeno Adam Rishon, Rabbi Meir Omer Gef, and Ayan, She'in Lecha Davar Shemevi Yelala Adam, Ela Yain, Shema Vayesh Ben Ayan Vayishkar. Rabbi Nechem Yomer Teina Haita, clearly B'davar Shnit Kalkalu Bo Nitkenu, Shema Yitpuru Alei Teina. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chita Haita, She'in HaTinok Yodea Likrot Aba Vima Ad Shitom Tam Dagan. So Salka Da Atecha Mina, Holy Ovi Omer Rabbi Yehuda Chita Mini Lanu, Livrei Chalei Abore Priya Eid, Kamashma, where do we mevarak borei preitz? Echad ekikirsh kautel elepere. There's still a gavza left. That is hora mafik of fruit again. Aval echad eshikar kautel elepere. There's nothing left behind. And let the gavza dara mafik. How could you say borei priha eitz? It's not a pri of the eitz, even if it is an ilan. Ela borei priha adama. V'al kulam yimamar shakol niye bidvoro idmar avunoma. Well, but that doesn't include pat v'yayin. Rabbi Yochanan amar filu pat v'yayin. Neima ketanoi ra'a pat v'yamar, kamana e patzo. Boruch hamakom shebara'a yatsa. Ra'a teina v'yamar, kamana teina zo. Boruch hamakom shebara'a yatsa. Dibre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosemer. כל המשנה ממטבעה שטבעו חכמים בברכות לא יצא ידי חפתו. נאמר רבונה דאמר רבי יוסף ויוחנן אמר רבי מאיר. Of course, רבונה will tell you. אנא דאמר אפילו רבי מאיר. עד כאן לא כמו רבי מאיר, אל תמלא איך אתה קומית כשמי דפת. But over here he's saying שהכל נביעה בדברו. So איך אתה לא קומית כשמי דפת, אפילו רבי מאיר, מה דאמר נת יוצא. רבי יוחנן אמר לך, and I would say, I feel a Rabbi Yossi. I can look on Rabbi Yossi, Hatam. You're not Yossi because you made a bracha that doesn't resemble the takan of the Rabbana. Avol Amashak, only Ebed Varo, which is a normal bracha, to takina Rabbana. So Rabbi Yossi would also be mother. Bid Yomin Raya Korach Rifta Vyomar, Brich Moreda Ipita. Omar Rabbi Yatsa. Yomer Av Kobra Hashem Askarat Hashem in Abraha. Yomer Brich Rachmana Mori Dai Pita. Va Beinan Shalosh Bracha. Da Mayatza. The Gomer Av Nami Yatzi de Bracha Rishona. So then, Makamashmon, is it that Afagab Domer Loshon Chol? Tanit in the Mishnah, Ludemor Becholoshon Pashat Sota, Vidui Maser, Kriyat Shema, Tefila, Ubirkat Amazon. Nonetheless, it's true. As a literal translation of Kiyachat HaKin Rabban HaBalashin Kodesh, Avalom Rab HaLashin Chol, Kiyachat HaKin Rabban HaBalashin Kodesh, Emelo, Kamash Maman, Gufa, Amar Rab, Kol Bracha Shein Ba'azkarat HaShein, Ena Bracha, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Bracha Shein Ba'malchut, eina bracha. Om rabbi kavati de rav nistavra, de tani lo avarti mi mitzvotech velo shachakti, means lo avarti mi levarech, velo shachakti mi las kishim chalav, vilu malchut lo katani. Rabbi Yochanan tani, the Rabbi Yochanan says, tni velo shachakti mi las kishim chalav, u malchut chalav. והדבר שאין גדולו מן הרטום שהכל נהיה בדברו על החומץ על הנפלות על הגופי אומר שהכל נהיה בדברו רבי ירון הכל שומעים כלל אין מבורכין עליו היו לפניו מינים הרבה רבי ירון אומרים יש כנאים מין שבעה עליו הוא מבורך וחכמים אומרים על איזה מהם שירצה יברך תאמר רבנו דבר שאין גדולו מן הרטום כגון בשר בהמה חיות עופות דגים אומר שהכל נהיה בדברו על החלב, על הביצים, על הגבינה, שהכל נהיה בדברו. על הפת שאיבשה, על היין שקרים, על תפשיר שעבר צורתו, אומר שהכל. על המלח, על הזמת, על כמיין ופטריות, אומר שהכל. כמיין ופטריות, לאו גדולי קרקנינו. והתניא הנודר מפירות הארץ, אסור בפירות הארץ, אבל זה מותר בכמיין ופטריות. But if he says, "Kol gidulei karka alai," asur af bekmein upitriot. Om Rabbi, yeah, but you know that's because mirba robu miara. But they're certainly not yonek miara. So, but for the brocha we said, al davar she'en gidulo mina aretz katani. Well, change that. Tni al davar she'eno yonek mina aretz. V'yala novlot. What exactly are novlot? Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Lai argue, Charam Rabush Lechemara and the sun that is ruined it, Vacharam Ratam Rizika blown down. Tan Rabbi Yeram Rakoshu Minklala, Eme Vorkinala. So Bishlam and the man of Bush Lechemara, yes, you ruined it. Sanikor Minklala. But according to the Omar, it says, blown by the wind, I mean, they're not damaged. Why is it Minklala? Well, it's obviously not referring to that case, it's referring to the Chometz, Ashara. But according to the Mandiyam, it's the time of the Zika. Why are we saying a Shako? What happened to Borei Priyaitz? You're right. Benovlot Stama, like our Mishnah, the Machloket Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Lai doesn't exist. It's not Hakalin Shebedemai Hashitin Harimino Zardin Benot Shoach Benot Shikma Gufnin Nitz Benovlot Tamara. Oh, okay. Shitin Omer Rabba Barbachan Meyachanim Teina Rimin Arkandi Ozardin Tulshi. בנות שוח, אמר רבי ברכון מיוחנן, תני חיוורת. בנות שקמה, אמר רבי ברכון מיוחנן, דובלי. גופני, ישירי גופני. נצפה, is the slav pircha. Novlo tomorrow. Here's where we have the machlokes, Rabbi Lev, Rabbi Zera. Chad amir bush lechamara, vechad amir tarmi de zika. Bishle milaman yom bush lechamara, diktoni hakalin shedemai, meaning it's only sveikan, which is potter, but vadan would be chayah. But if it's tarmi de zika, so then it's Hefker. So Vadon is Chayef. It's Hefker and Inu. Hachma is Kinan, Shasan Goran, Yom Reb Yitzchum Reb Yochanan, Rishum Reb Lesben Yaakov, Leke Chikha Vapea, that the Oni made into a Goran, or the owners, if nobody came back for them, Shasan Goran, Hupulam Aser. Igri Ami Bishlam, the man Yom Tamar Zikan, Erdoch, Karin Novlot Stoma, Vatam Karle Tamra, Novlot Mora. Elamanu Bushle Kamara, both cases, so then need the Idivida Novla tomorrow, or Idivida Novla Stoma. Kashem.
Shavuot Tov, we're holding on to the first word on Daf Mem and Aleph, which is just where we're supposed to be. And Chodesh Tov. Omar Rav, Daf Mem. Tol Baruch. Somebody who, after making Chav, he hands out the bread. He says, take the Baruch. Take the piece of bread that we made the Baruch on. He hands it out to the Mesubim. That's not considered to be a hefsek between the brocha and the achila, because it's literally part of the presentation, and therefore it's in part of the achila itself. Lamais, it's a very fascinating question here, Bichlal. What is the problem of a hefsek? And it makes a big difference in how one understands it. Tosis brings over here that the nature of hefsek is the concept of hefsek hadad. Hefsek hadad is always something which breaks the connection between what it is you were doing before and what it is you're doing now. However, there are others who learn that the problem here is not hefsek hadad, but rather that you don't have what the bracha to be called on. Not because of your dad. Well, the difference would be, for instance, in one of the famous cases that's brought by the poser, somebody makes a bracha and he thinks he's got wine, he actually ends up, it turns out, with a beer, and he makes an Bari Pra Geffen. And the question is, now he has to go back now and say another bracha. Whether that's considered to be hatzaka in what he was, you know, say he was a middle of dollar doing something before, that couldn't be a hefsek. If his mind is on what it is that he's doing, then it shouldn't be a hefsek at all. So he may have made a mistake, but that has nothing to do with it. He's always interested in the ultimately for his nation of dollar, whatever the case is. And the same thing would be when it comes to the brachot. It really shouldn't matter technical definition of what you're doing. What's important is, do you continue to have in mind the fact that you intend to eat? The fact that the Gemara over here makes it dependent on technicalities, as we'll see, implies that it is more like the Groz pshat, which is the latter pshat. There needs to be a connection, not in your mind. There's a separate issue, Hesach Hadat, but there needs to be a connection between the bracha, the presence of what the bracha is all on. And therefore, in cases where it's evident, objectively, Tol Baruch is not a problem, because it is what the bracha is all on. Forgetting about whether you have this in your mind. So, Einot Tzarich Lavoreh. On the other hand, if he says, Havei Melach, bring some salt to the table. Or have they lift on, bring a dip to the table.
It's after he
makes the bracha, before he eats the bread, then tzarich levarech. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilo haviu melach, or haviu liftan, nami in tzarich levarech, because it still is, even though it's not directly what the bracha is about, it's part of the necessity for the pot, to make the pot more suitable for achila. And we try to pretty up the pot as much as possible. But to introduce a separate issue, such as, for instance, gabilature, to put out the animal feed, that was to mix the water in the feed. Mix the feed for the shore. Tzarech levarech. Now there you would have to. Rav Shesha says, even gabilature, even mix the food for the animals, you won't have to be mavarech, because you're not allowed to eat unless you mix the food for the animals. And since Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Asur la'adam shiyochah, kodem shiyitein ma'achal v'emto, shinema v'natati esev v'sadachal v'emtecha, and only then, so first you have to put out the food for the animals, then you're allowed to eat. It would turn out that this too is letzorech the achila, and therefore it's part of the bracha. The question is, what is the machloket? I mean, are they disagreeing in Rav Yehuda? Is our original pshat over here that according to, not according to Rav Shesha. So Rav Shesha says he owes like Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yochanan, the gabilature would in fact be a hafsaka because you don't have to feed the animal. Is that the point? Or is it that, as many learn, if I say gabilature, although it's necessary for the meal, it has nothing to do with the bracha at all. It's a side issue which prevents me from eating. Then maybe that is dependent on the issue of Hesach Hadat already, right? In other words, perhaps that may be what we're talking about, because the man is saying gabilature because obviously he intends to eat. He realized, oh my God, I didn't feed the shore, I shouldn't be eating. On the other hand, in terms of the direct connection to the bracha, it's a completely external question. It has nothing to do with the actual bracha and what is it I'm eating. So it may well be that the issue of how to understand the nature of the hefsek is actually a function of which pshat we take here in the Gemara. By the way, there's a question as to why it says all of these things twice. Right? Say, gabilature, what if you said it once? Someone will bring a raya that the din of hafaka is three words. Because whether it's shalom alecha rabbi, in terms of the shiur of what's considered to be talking to the barachic lady, and they claim that that's the reason that the Gemara repeats it, because somebody only had two words, it wouldn't be a hefsek anyway. So it's not because it's not a hefsek in the bracha, because I didn't say enough. However, it seems pretty clear from the Rishonim that
otherwise you're saying have a melech alone would be okay.
No, even if you would say bring coke, it would be okay because only two words.
Right, come on.
Yeah, or, thanks. And you don't want to use that as an example because it wouldn't prove anything. It's dafka because the melech is magam. But it's pretty clear from the Rishonim
that it's have a lifta. You're saying it was that cheshbon would be, it was dafka saying those four words. We would almost
that case, yeah,
have a melech, that would be okay.
Right. You keep saying that, but I assume you're referring to the first, because it is okay. I'm saying you're referring to the first one.
Right,
yeah,
it's
just confusing me a little bit. Omar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Avichia, En Abutzea Rishai Liftzoa, Ad Sheyaviu Melach Liftan Lifnei Kol Echad Miechad. Actually, he shouldn't even make the bracha unless everybody has something to dip in. Of course, in those days they had separate tables. You know, each one had his own little serving table and so on. You don't want people to be making a hafzakah by asking pass around the melach, and therefore supply it to everybody. Rava Bar Shmuel equal to the Reish Galuta. Rava Bar Shmuel once came to the house of the Reish Galuta to eat. They brought him out pot. But Salah Adeh, and he went ahead and he didn't even wait for them to bring out the melach. He simply went and he made his bracha without having a dip. Omrulay, so they said to him, now wait a minute, you're the guy who says that you're supposed to have, was Rabbi Bar Shmuel, you're supposed to have melach in front of everybody, now we put you down, give you some bread, and you're the one who goes ahead and doesn't even wait for the melach. Have you had a change of heart? Hadamar mishmaitte? Amalohu late dein tzarech boshesh. Bread of this quality needs to wait on no one. Because the only reason we have the melach is really in order to improve the taste of the bread. But such delicious challah like I get over here at the Rish Galusa's Rebbe's. Not necessary to dip it in melach. That even that isn't necessary to say. It's not because of the need for melach in terms of melach al shulchan, like melach on the karbanis and so on. It's simply the quality. There's an interesting tosfos that brings that there's another inyan of the melach over here. It brings from Rabbeinu Menachem that used to be very marked to have melach on the table, and that's because there's a medrash says that when Klal Yisrael washes, what happens is, you know how he's around waiting for you to sometime? I mean, like, it's awful. So meanwhile, the sutton is mekatre, you know, because nobody's doing anything. And you're fuming, and the kids are chattering, and nobody's being Isaac and Mitzvahs, and the sultan is Makatri. It's okay, so have melach brit. The Medrash says melach brit is something that is shomer on Yisrael. So brit melach olam, so you put down salt, it should be a memory of the brit.
Is that the source of the idle hands?
Actually, that's a Mishnah. It's a Shimu, maybe Lidera, never should be idle.
Is it the Karbanis?
Yeah, that's a different issue.
They never brought Karbanis at night, so why do they need
all? We're not bringing it because we're bringing it Liyafa to Tafak. We're not bringing it in terms of the dinim of Karbanis. Amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Ebechiyah. Once we're on the Rava Bar Shmuel's practical applications, Ein Meirag Laim Kalim Ela B'Yeshiva. If you want to really make sure you empty your bladder, you should be sitting. Now, this is not because sitting is better for emptying bladders, because it obviously isn't. You empty your bladder better when you're standing. And the point is that psychologically you don't empty your bladder when you're standing, because, again, those days didn't have toilets, and so what you were talking about was afraid of getting splattered by any dribbling and so on. So because of that, you would perhaps not wait until you emptied your bladder. Shengen B'Yeshiva, there would be no concern. However, if Omer of Kahana, this makes clear that the issue, Uba'afra Tichoach, Afilu Ba'amida, if you have Afra Tichoach, which is very absorptive, just like his hand, one bladder, so there, Afilu Ba'amida, in fact, he led Afra Tichoach, since it's unhealthy to be in the middle of urination, not to complete it, Ya'amod B'makom Gavoa, V'yashtim B'makom Midron, there's always an Eitzah, which we had earlier in the Sechta, stand in a place which is higher, so that you, where it is that the urine flows is downhill. Yomer Rav Bashmo B'Shmei D'Revichia, Achar Kol Achilat Techa, Echol Melach. Every time you finish eating, have a little salt at the end. Whatever you're drinking, have a chase. Shitei Mayim. V'yata Nizok. And that way, you'll make it out alive. Tanya Amiyaka, Achrei Kol Achilatcha, Echol Melach, Achar Kol Shtiyatcha, Shitei Mayim. V'yata Nizok. We have this in a bright as well. Tanya Yidach. Someone who ate whatever it was he was eating and didn't have a little bit of salt. Shata kol mashkin v'lo shata mayim. It depends when you do this. During the day, you should be concerned for halitosis. You need a little bit of water to wash down that root. So yidag min reach hapeh. U'belayla yidag mipnei askra. If this is a night and you jam up your intestines, and what happens is you can get askra. Askra is the starts in the name of and ends up choking you. There's some type of diphtheria, which is a ten rabban. Hamatfer chilato b'mayim. Somebody is kofer. He floats his achila with water. In Ovali de Cholimai, if there's enough water there, then it's going to ease digestion. So you should float your food, so to speak. The comma, when we mean that, what's the proportion? Omer Chista, kiton lepat. You have a pitcher of water for every loaf of bread. Omer of Mori, Omer of Yochan, haragil ba'adashim, achat v'shloshim yom. That's the mix, that's the mix. Over here, it's afterwards. Afterwards. Yeah. Floated after you ate it. I'm not talking about it. Not the mix. Yeah. It's not talking about mix.
Right after
you ate. Someone who makes certain that he's got adashim at least once every 30 days, you know. Monem asra mitoch beto. That's very, very good for your digestion. You won't end up getting asra. Don't do it too often, though. I will call you malot. My time is from the kashal areach haper. We certainly don't want you to be turning off people you're talking to. Yomer of Mori, Yomer of Yochanan. Haragil bechardal achat shloshim yom. A nice big flub of mustard every 30 days, good thing. Moneach olayim mitoch beto. I will call you malot. Not to have too much mustard. My time is the kashal achusha the liba. Makes your heart a little weaker. Yomer of Chia Barash. Eat those little herrings. You'll never have any stomach trouble. Kippers.
Or sardines.
No, don't do that. I was afraid someone was going to say that. it just takes care of your whole system. Nothing better than having a little bit of goldfish swallowing. How do they say ketzach in English? They just started marketing these. Yeah, like I see, they started marketing it now. They were serving it on El Al in the latest. What was it in English? Very, very distinctive taste. They started now a snack, Ketzach snack, and they were giving them out to make them fashionable. They were giving them out for free to El Al.
Oh, like tam-tam, like a Mazzone?
A little tam-tam that was had Ketzach, but I forgot what the English name is. No?
Pesta. It's a pesta.
But it's not round.
Zaynus? The green thing you're talking about? No,
I flew out of my mouth trying all day to figure out what
it is. It's similar to rye.
No. It's much sharper.
But it's similar. It translates
similar. How do they?
Fennel.
Fennel. That's it. It is fennel. It says what it said on the label. That's right. Fennel, thank you. That's great. Right, where'd you get that?
Rabbi School.
Ah, okay. Very good. So, yeah. So anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So Ketzach, if you eat a lot of Ketzach, you end up not coming with Dekeev Lev. You save yourself those heart pains. May say Rav Shimon Gamliel alone, doesn't Rav Shimon Gamliel see that Ketzach is one of the 60 most dangerous poisons? And if you want to sleep to the east of a pile of Ketzach, when the wind is blowing usually, you know, during the night, blowing from the west, you know, you're just responsible for your own death. I mean, sitting there breathing in that stuff, you know, you'll never wake up. Lokasha, Berecho, Betamo. The taste is great, but I mean, inhaling the stuff is not good. There's a lot of stuff like that, right? Ime, the Rebbe Yirmiyah. You know, I never inhale. So, what?
I wrote in the margin 7.5 years ago.
Oh, what'd you write?
Fennel.
Oh, you wrote fennel. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, in
English, you something like Melenson. No, no. He made Reb Yirmiyah. Now, Reb mom used to bake him bread with ketzach. She put ketzach on the top, let the bread absorb a lot of that yummy ketzach taste, but then she peeled off the ketzach because she didn't want her son breathing in the smell of the ketzach. So she took it off so he wouldn't inhale it, but it's good for eating. Reb Yidomar Borei Minedishai. Next thing we had in the Mishnah is after we visit the various brachot, we found that when it came to Yerakot, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not so posh. It's not so bori b'yadama. We saw before that the Zra'im, he also has a special bracha for. When it comes to greens, you should make a bracha on greens. Desha, bori b'yadishan. Om Rabbi Zera, v'tem Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, in halachak Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass him like that. V'om Rabbi Zera, v'tem Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, my time at Rabbi, you don't understand where Rabbi is coming from. He learns it out from the Pasuk where it says, Baruch Hashem, yom, yom. Now, what do you mean, yom, yom? Chi b'yom mevorchim oto, b'layla im mevorchim. Why are we stressing yom so much here? Every day is different. Rosh Chodesh, you should be making special brachot for Rosh Chodesh. Make sure that your brachot and your tefillot reflect Rosh Chodesh. If it's Shabbat, you should be saying brachot of Shabbat. Don't just generically aim of Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if, by the same token, Al-Khanami ko min v'min, ten lo me'in birchotav, there's also something special about giving non-generic brachot. The more divine the bracha is, that's the better bracha. And therefore, it's not just to say Borei Pri Adama is very, very loose. The Amr Rabbi Zera v'Yitemer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Bo'u re'ei shalok ki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam. Midat basar v'dam. When you talk about people who inhabit a physical universe, then if you have space, that space can hold things. If you fill up the space, it can hold any other thing. Because space is basically defined that way. It's a function of halal. So if it's empty, then you have what you call space, which is why we mix the two words. We use the word space for an empty place within something else, and also for the three-dimensional thing that we live in. So that's the idea of physicality. Mashen kan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the exact opposite. Because if you're talking about the equivalent idea of space, that is to say, context or something, then that context or something is better served by having it defined by what you call in it. So it's by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malei Machzik, Rekanei No Machzik. The more full it is, the more contextually it's defined itself as being a space for the thing that you want to put in it, correct? So in other words, if you have now someone who is a Chacham, so if you're talking about that type of space, and obviously you contextually define more space for Chochmah, not less space. It works in the opposite direction. Therefore, the more Chochmah you have, the more room you have for Chochmah, not the less room you have for Chochmah. And therefore, you have a Kli that is Rekan, doesn't have space for anything. Shenemar vayomer im shamoa tishma. Let's say shamoa tishma. Im shamoa tishma. Vim lav lo tishma. In other words, you need to have made some preparation to create the context that allows for the shmiyah. But there's another approach to the baracha. Im shamoa biyasham tishma bechadash. You continue to look at what you've already understood and you derive new things from it all the time. Then you'll constantly be opened into new. But if you don't hear anything from what you've had and you're bored by it, now you're turning away to other concerns, shuv lo tishma. You will not ever learn anything new. Samajash.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Birechal Perota Ilan Borei Pri Adama. Yatzan. Actually, if you set a Borei Pri Adama even on fruits of a tree, even though it's a more generic bracha, it's less well defined, but since ultimately it's correct in that everything is going to be drawing from the ground, you would be Yotze. In the other direction, it doesn't make any sense. To call Perota Arz Borei Pri Aids, lo Yatzan. The Al Kulam Imamar Shakoni Ebedvaro Yatzan. Now, the simple way of understanding this, if you read the Mishnah naively, is that the most generic bracha, this you say after a long Shabbat like that? Would you have grandchildren crawling over on it? I always look forward to Matzah Shabbos, particularly because Richie's all alive, but it's the only time in the week that I see him. He comes. No. This is like it's like an ongoing sitcom. I meet people all over the world that ask me about Richie.
They've
never met him. Honestly. They have no idea who Richie is, but they've got this whole image. That's literally a sitcom. They said they love to tune in because they need to know what you have.
The comic relief.
So when we get the video camera in here, it'll be even more fun. I was always thinking, what's the point of putting the Daffioni on a video feed? But now I realize we don't have talking heads. We have a sitcom. So there's another way to understand this, beyond simply saying that the most generic bracha is the shakol. And we'll see it makes nafka mina as mahalocha in case of fake and things like that. We treat shakol differently. If you look at the language, the first two cases it says bireif or bireif. At the end it changes it. It doesn't say im bireif shakol nieh bidvoro ala kol yata, the way it says bireif ha-pero teyvan. It's mashma that shakol nieh bidvoro actually is a bracha that was made to cover everything. In other words, we haven't yet introduced the idea of shakol as a particular bracha we're going to the next mission, the end of the mission, where we'll talk about what bracha you make on cheese and on milk and on meat and so on. That's the bracha shakol. I mean, this idea of shakol is a different shakol, according to him. It's the bracha that's good for everything, so that it was not only mitukan for meat and so on and so forth. It's a default bracha. Yeah.
The word im amar, you're talking about?
Yeah, the word imamar.
Why did they say imamar and not yet bracha?
Because lekatchila we want you to make a more specific bracha, but if you say it, this is also good. Yeah. But it's not that you made a mistake, like the other cases, you know, bireich al. That's not the point. In other words, if you chose to use this nusa, that's also good. Man tana the ikar ilan arahi. Now, who is the man diomar in the Mishnah that's saying that we can view peirot that come from the eight directly as peirot ha'adama? Or Rav Nachman by Yitzchak seems to be really good. It's not yavash ha'ma'ayan v'niktatza ilan mevive eino kore. Whereas Rav Yehomer mevive kore. Somebody is bringing his peirot to the Beit Hamikdash, and after he takes off his peirot and he's got them all ready to bring for Bikurim, someone cuts down his tree. So now he's going to be walking into Beit Hamikdash. Is it going to be korim? Is it going to be moda ala aretz atova that he no longer has? Because after all, I mean, the aretz that he's presenting these fruits from no longer exists if we view the eight as the mode of the creation of the fruit. So there, we have a machloket, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, nonetheless, you still may be v'korei. Because there's nothing wrong with talking about the aretz, because actually the ikar of the eight anyway is the aretz. So he's the one who is to be saying, borei pri ha-adama, it's perfectly okay to say. Right? Actually, the lashon of there is adama, adama shenatata. So it's literally the same lashon as the bracha. Al peirot haaret. By the way, there's some question: is what does yavash ha-mayan have to do with it? I mean, that's certainly, I mean, that's secondary. That what you had a mayan, so it's now you'll put an artificial piping. I mean, that's the issue. That's not really the same idea at all, is it? Tosfos brings that the yavash ha-mayan may indeed not be really connected to this idea. At least if we understand Tosfos correctly, because some of the things Tosfos is talking about both things. But he says the problem of the yavash ha-mayan is that it looks as if you're complaining rather than being thankful. You know, God, I really thank you for that great piece of land that you gave me. It's basically what it sounds like today. So therefore, we want to avoid that kind of thing. But that's a second issue. We have two separate things here that we're talking. Al perot haaretz. And if you say al perot haaretz borei pri ha'etz, you're not yotzei. Obviously you're not yotzei. I mean, how could any stretch of the imagination think that if you say borei pri ha'etz, that has something to do with what you're eating, a vegetable? Pshita. Amrim nachma yitzchid. That's a question. We're not talking about any old vegetable. We're talking about wheat. And it's reference over here to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds that wheat is a type of tree. How do we know that? Because the Tanya, Ilan Sha'achal Mimeno Adam HaRishon. What was the Eitz Hadad? So Rabbi Meir says, look, it's got to have been a Geffen, because Ein Lecha Davar Shebivi, Ela La'al Adam. Eloyai? I mean, the only thing that really screws people up in both directions, it's a das tovarat, is wine. It must have been something to do with wine. So that was the origin of the yalala, was mortality itself. Shenemar, vayesht min hayayin, vayishkar. That's all vay in yalala. Reb Nechemia Omer, what was a teinah? Makes more sense it was teinah, doesn't it? Because, I mean, why did they choose higweed to cover Adam? Since it says, I mean, it's clear, shebedavar shenitkalkalu bo nitaknu. The thing that was used for falling is what was used for fixing, which is the way it always is. Shemava yitfurua le teinah. So since the only awareness of nakedness was from the Eitz Hadad, must be that the Eitz Hadad was the teinah that was used then to cover the Adam. This is in the Hasidic circles, this is a major akudah, that every person, chisaron, is the root of his great teeth. And they use this tomorrow. In other words, the thing which is your greatest problem is the special thing that you have in you that can be metaken you. So there's another pshat, which is the medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take leaves from different trees. No tree agreed. He ain't going to use my leaves for that idiot. Of course, the Teinah was an accomplice in the crime, so of course, why not? There you go. so it must have been a Tainah. That's a very different problem.
Remember you mentioned Apple?
Apple. That's only the computer company. It's about the... That's where that comes from. The real reason that it's Apple...
Apple.
Yeah, the real reason that it's Apple is because it's a mistaken translation of Etrog. The Apple, Tapua, Etrog is translated as Tapua, always. And over there it's Etroga. The Lashon of Tava Yilei Naim, that's a Lashon from Etrog. So that there is a Mandiomer who says Beferish Etrog. So Tosfos says Etrog is what we call Tapua, not what Tapua today, an Apple. It's the Etrog, which is Tapua. And that's where you got Apple from. And the Mandiomer also, the Yetzadat is the Etrog. So it's the Tapua, let's say Aya, all of those Russians with Tapua, is an Etrog. So actually, I mean, we could sue that computer company and get the right little thing on the keyboard. Etrog. It's even a better approach. But I mean, that was a wonderful insight into the nature of the Eitz HaDaat and where computers were going to take you. I mean, that was the idea. A bit nabbled. That was the point. It's Daat. Oh, absolutely. What do you think? Steve Jobs is an idiot?
He's a rich
idiot.
I should be an idiot.
And the
thing we
were there.
Yeah. Next door. It was terrible. Garage down the street.
That was great.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where he died.
No question. So okay, it was Te'ena. Now here's the part that's important to us. That's Rav Yehuda Shita. Rav Yehuda Omer Chita Haita. She'ena tinok yodea likrot Abba ve'ima ad shitum ta'am dagan. You know that a child learns how to speak his first words at the point that he's eating cereal, approximately. So therefore, cereal is connected to Dibur, which is of course a function of Da'at, as it was in Gan Eden. And that's it. There's your proof. But anyway, you can't say it's Chita if it says in the Torah of the Farish that they ate from an eight, and Chita, you're saying, is not an eight. So clearly, according to Rav Yehuda, the chita is an eight. In which case, you would think that if you were mevorek on a chita or a priya eight, you would be yosef. And therefore, to salgadate, I mean, hold on, Rav Yehuda chita, I mean ilan. B'diavad, you could say borei priya eight. Kamashmalan. Now, when it comes to the dinim of brachot, hecha mevorkinam borei priya eight. The only thing that qualifies as an eight for dinim brachot is hecha ki shakalta leil pere ite legavza v'hadar mavi. If when you pick the fruit, you leave over gavza. Now that's a whole question what that means. But let's assume for a moment you leave the branch, Rich, and then the branch will bring forth new fruit. The same branch will bring forth new fruit next year. That's a tree. Avalhecha dechishakalte leilapere, leite legavza. If, however, in pulling off the fruit, you leave it without a branch that is now going to be hadramatic, that will now bring out new fruit. Lo mevachinan alei borei priya eitz, ela borei priya adama, and this defines the nature of a tree. Now there's three different approaches to what this means. Rashi uses over here the lashon of gavza. He says gavza is the anaf of the eitz. Many take this as meaning literally, the anaf. So the anaf, the branch, itself. So in other words, you have many trees where the branches, indeed, are just extensions of fresh and leafy kind of extensions that you don't find after the season, but there's still basically a trunk which then spreads out again next year. According to Rashi, some want to claim that wouldn't be enough. You need to have a standing branch, you need to have an anaf. There are others who learn, including the Ramah, that even if the rush, it's really the rush shita, even if you've got a root system that will put out a new tree, like a banana, but that would be sufficient, even though you don't see anything. And according to that, it would be a borei priya eitz, because as long as you don't have to replant it, it's a perennial, then it would still be a eitz. Then you have another sheet of the geonim, that if you have a trunk without the branch. So we have what appears to be three different shitot of your discussion in our Friday review. No, that's not quite true. There are new branches, but there's also branches that remain. Okay, so there's another fascinating lesson over here. The other question is, what about bushes? Bushes certainly satisfy this requirement. In other words, you have various berries. I mean, you ought to make a berry priya eight, according to this. And there are those, nonetheless, who hold that anything that is less than three fachim high is bottled to the ground, by definition, because it's sort of lavut to the adama. So it can't be except for a tree. It's just adama, and you would make a berry priya adama. There's an interesting Yerushalmi that talks about the difference of an adad. Adad is a bushes, various types of one bushes. But they're talking about edible bushes, which also springs over here. The difference between atad being no kelayim in a kerem, because it's a tree, and yet when it comes to making a bracha, it's an adama. So those we have different criteria for the definitions of tree for different things. And when it comes to bracha, indeed, a lot of it is dependent on the way we relate to it. That whole point of bracha, in which case, a purely technical definition is not what's in order over here.
Back to
No, because it's a special halacha. V'al kulam. Ima marsha kol niyeh b'dvaro. Yotze. Says Raguna, well, no, it's not quite on everything. I mean, not for bread and not for wine. Because bread and wine are unique. We know that bread and wine, the Gemara is going to say later on, bread and wine is not simply that they have a more chash of a bracha. Actually, there's a machlokas we're trying to understand what Rav Huna does. The Rashi references the Gemara later on, which is fascinating, that points out that bread and wine force their own brachas. Meaning that even if you don't want to eat them, you have to eat them. Well, you're going to a wedding. They're going to be making birchat chatanim on wine, whether you want to or not, whether you're in the mood to drink wine. You just said Abdullah. So in other words, where the bracha is triggered by the thing, and if it forces you to make the bracha, that's a completely different type of bracha. It's not that I'm making a bracha because I want to eat this. And so I need to have, therefore, a different relationship to it. Because the bracha is fundamental.
In that case, it's
altogether. No, you can't say that. But nonetheless, that idea itself shows that there's more to it than just your relationship to the thing. Okay, whereas, look, Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu pat v'yayin. Could this be dependent on an old machlok, ketanoi? Ketanoi. Ra'a pat. Somebody sees a piece of bread and says, wow, hamana e patzu. Wow, that is a really beautiful piece of bread. Baruch ha-makom shebar'a. Yatsa? Is yotzei is bracha. Ra'a te'ina.
And he before says, he eats it.
Yeah, well, we'll see if the before or after. Ra'ate ina v'ma, wow, kamana ate ina zo, baruch ha-makom shebara, yatsa? The Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yosef says, no. Kol mishanem imadbea, shetabu chachamim, v'brachot lo yatsa yevecho bato. You can't change the nusach of the chachamim and come up with your own medrash. You know, they like to do that today. You come up with your own brachas, you have a new way of looking at it, you know. So now it would appear that Rav Huna is makbid on the way it's specific, and therefore yells like Rebbe Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan, who says, well, no, it doesn't matter. He's going according to Rabbi Meir. Amar lecha Rav Huna could say to you, no, of course everyone would agree with me. I wouldn't be saying my shita. Only according to one man, the Amar. Out of the Amar, I feel the Rabbi Meir. I mean, Rabbi Meir was saying there that what you did was a proper bracha because you made your comments about the thing that you're going to eat. You were talking about bread. You said, what a beautiful piece of bread. Or you're talking about a te'ina. You said, what a beautiful te'ina. When you say shakol niyeh b'dvaro, you're not saying beautiful anything. And that's what I'm saying. You have to at least mention the thing. I mean, I'm saying Rabbi Meir would agree on with that too. You didn't even bother mentioning the bread. You're just talking about the bria as a whole. Maybe Rabbi Meir would agree to me. Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, I mean, it may well be that Rabbi Yossi is right over there, but of course, I'm saying that even according to Rabbi Yossi, and all Rabbi Yossi said over there, is because you said a bracha that doesn't exist, right? The Rabbanu never were mitzakein a bracha that goes, what a beautiful piece of bread, blessed is the Lord who made it. It's not such bracha. So you made up a new bracha. But over here, when you say shakol niyeh b'dvaro, it's an extant bracha. You're applying it, perhaps, in the wrong place. But maybe Rabbi Yossi would be motivated that that's not called mishanem imadbeya shetavu chachamim. It's a completely different issue. And therefore, let's not confuse these two machlokasim. Binyamin Raya. Binyamin was a famous shepherd. Korach Rifta, he would eat his bread and he would say, Grich More the High Pita. And that was basically good enough for him. Blessed is the Lord of this bread. Omarav Yatza. That's good bracha. Rav is the one who says, Kol Bracha Shein Ba Hasharat Hashem. I mean, he didn't even say, he said, More. More is like the owner. I mean, it's not, there's no divinity associated with that. He says, if he doesn't have a Hasharat Hashem, then Ein Bracha. But anyway, he said, Grich Rachmana More the High Pita. Now, Rachman, this is a fascinating issue because it's very, very nogea. For instance, how about if you say Hashem? Now, your kid says, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Ata Hashem, because that's how you've taught him. Is that going to be less than Rachmana? Rachmana is only a kinui for God, right? And many taina, that the point over here is that Rachmana, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah paskens this. If you would substitute the word Harachaman for the word God in the bracha, you wouldn't be yotzei. Because Harachaman is not Allah. It's Allah Harachaman. In other words, it's a midah of God, you're saying. The merciful. But if you say Rachmana in Aramaic, that's how you say God in Aramaic. So Brich Rachmana is saying, blessed is the Lord. It's not saying the Rachman. It's interesting. In other words, each language would be very specific. There's the question. I mean, nowadays that Hashem has become a word for God, and it's the Muslim takeover of the world that has done that. But it's become...
Hashem.
Everybody said, look at all the art schools. They have brokers to Hashem all the time. So the question is, whether now is that a trick? Is that a translation of God?
Yeah, the Muslims say that.
What? Yeah, but that's because the Allah is the Rahman.
So, we're talking about a bracha prominent, right?
Well, yes, in fact we are. We're going to ask. We don't know that yet. So ask the Gemara. I mean, we're assuming over here that it's after he eats. Ask the Gemara about how the Inan Shalosh brachot. Wait a second. I mean, that's about the shortest Birkat HaMazon I ever heard. What happened to the other stuff? You know, Noda, Brit, Torah, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, Oretz. He didn't say any of it. So, no. Mayatzah, they come around. Nami Yatzah, Yedei Bracha Rishonah. A bracha rishona here, it means rishona of the three, not bracha lifnei achilato. It's not called a bracha rishona. It's become now a borrowed term to use the word bracha rishona to mean the equivalent of a bracha as opposed to bracha achrona. But the Rosh points out that, of course, this would be good for what we call a bracha rishona as well, or bracha lifnei achilato. Yeah. So it means the first birkat hazan, you said, brich rachmona more sahai pita. Actually, we'll see, according to those who learn that you need to have haskarat malchut, as well as haskarat hashem, which we didn't bother bringing up here, that the correct nusach, as Rashba points out, is that according to the Roshitas, obviously we weren't mitzaken only to say brich rachmana, but rather brich rachmana malka the alma, mora the high pita. I had cousins in Williamsburg. That's the way their parents taught them to make brachas when they were kids. Really strange. The Pincuses. Remember, I was shocked as a kid when I would come in, and this is what they would be mavorah. Brich rachmana malka the alma, mora the high pita. As little kids, Shimshon Pincus. That's how he grew up making brachas.
And then at what point did they tell them to have
brachas? I don't know that much. I don't remember. But I remember the mother always used to go pita at the end, get the kids into the brachas. But maybe just to avoid, you know, using Shem Hashem. I would assume. But. For that, you need to pay the rabbi. I mean, that's what the OU is for, isn't it? As far as I know. So then, if you talk about bracha rishona, I mean, what's the chiddush then? So the ma'ika mashma is the chiddush that because you said it in English or in here you said it in Aramaic. So alpha gav diomer b'lashon chol. I mean, that's a parasha mishnah. Tanina elu ne'amarim b'chalashon parashat sota vidui maaser kriyat shema tefila birkat hamazon. I mean, so why? What's the chiddush? I don't need Rav tell me that I can say it in Aramaic. No, because al kadatech amin ha'ani milo diomer b'lashon chol kiyachet takin rabban b'lashon kodesh. Here, and we mentioned this earlier, but there was a big about the question. What was I in the middle of thing? Yes, this we mentioned earlier, the question about whether if you're davening in another language, can you really say something that is more romantically acceptable in that language? Do you need to translate word for word, or is it the idea that counts once you're going into another language? In this Gemara, it's clear that that's the chiddush. You're certainly not translating the bracha. I mean, the bracha is on both left and heart, and they say, what a beautiful piece of bread, or more da'ai pita. I mean, that's not a translation. It's a tremendous chiddush. And when we say b'chol lashon, we do not mean translated b'chol lashon. We mean the idea. Which is a general idea. That's a big finish. That's a kamashma line. So I would have thought that a lo amra b'lashon chol in the same way, maybe you wouldn't be yotze. Kamashma line, and this actually would be strong grounds for the type of translations that you find in Reformed Siddurim and so on, that would be suitable, really, in order to be yotze chiyav, according to this. A lot of discussions from Moshe as a tshuva about it, but here, certainly from this sugya, the chiddush of Rav, it's mashma gabi birkot ha'ne'anin, at least, we don't need a word for translation. Guf amara. Ko bracha.
Inba. So what, you know, you have to have a deeper understanding of what is the crucial word until you do it. I mean,
That's what the tshuvas are about, but from the Gemara, it's not much, but you need to have askara sat and askara tashem. And that's about it. Because that's what we're asking. Otherwise, we could have asked a lot of things. Because then maybe you need haskara samotzi. Ko bracha shem ba'askara tashem, Rab said, ain't a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The shame is not enough. Ko bracha shem ba'malchut ain't a bracha. Just to say Baruch Atah Hashem and not to say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam is no good. Omer Abaye Kavati Garav Mistavra. It makes more sense to say like Rav, that it's enough to say the Shem Hashem. The Tanya, Lo Avarti Mi Mitzvotecha V'lo Shachachti. If we're on the topic of Vidui Maaser, it says over there, Lo Avarti Mi Mitzvotecha V'lo Shachachti. So Lo Avarti means Lo Avarti Mi Lavarech. V'lo Shachachti Mi Laazkir Shimcha Alav. It doesn't say Mi Laazkir Malchutcha Alav. So apparently all that's necessary is Shimcha not Malchutcha. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that, look, say V'lo Shachachti Mi Laazkir Shimcha Malchutcha Alav. I mean, that's basically the same idea. That's the question of whether when we said before, Baruch HaMokom. Baruch HaMokom, and there's the Eina. Does HaMokom already include Malchut? Sabajash.
Look, the Heidegger Mishnah.
The Aldavash Engidulo Min Ha'aretz, Omer Shakol Nievet Vro. You see, it's a strange way of creating the Mishnah by mentioning the Shahakol first as a default bracha. Unless indeed there are two dinim in Shahakol. So Aldavash Engidulo Min Ha'aretz, Omer Shakol Nievet Vro. Furthermore, this is fascinating. Something that already had its bracha defined as a special bracha, such as wine, which now became vinegar. You no longer make an ala gefen on the vinegar. So al ha-chometz, you're going downhill now. And for that matter, al ha-novlot, which we'll see are also things that would have had their own bracha, al ha-gobai. Gobai is locusts. You just have these people from Thailand running around with a big garbage bag collecting the recent locust infestation. They ate them for months afterward, pickled them, salted them. It's great. Anyway, so if you're going to be eating any of those, the bracha is shakol. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't make any bracha on these things. Because koshu min kilala ein levorchin ala. Something that comes as a klala is not something that one makes a bracha. It's absurd to make a bracha. What are you saying? You're going to say, Shakol ni'ebed v'ron, we'd like more of these? I mean, what, you want another locust infestation, maybe? You want more of your wine to turn into vinegar?
What's on the locust?
Actually, someone's not talking about the locust. but Patsy's is going on all this. See in the Gemara. How about you have a lot of different things to make a bracha? If you have one of the shivat aminim of Eretz Yisrael, that has kidima. We're now switching to kidima b'brachot. We already saw in the introduction to this, again, we talked about that a little bit. You make a bracha on whatever you like best. That doesn't mean whatever you simply selected random, which is the way we use it today. Whatever. It's not whatever. It's whatever you want. Exactly. So that's the chavivut of your desire for the thing, which we saw before in the disastrous Bar Kapporah's work. Says the Gemara, turn around. Al davar shein gedolim min haaretz kegon. Basar, beimot, chayot, velfot, vidagim, and all of these things you say shakol ni'ebed v'ro. On milk, on eggs, on cheese, and all the homer shakol. How about ala pach ipshai? We have another interesting case where you have bread that has now turned moldy. It's not inedible. But a lot of people wouldn't eat it at this point. God, that's first, you know, synonym of mold. Ala yayin chi cream, you've got wine that now has got already starting to turn. Ala tafshil shavat surato, this does not smell too good. Yeshiva guys eat it maybe because they're used to it. But regular people wouldn't eat it. Then you no longer make the broch that was meyuchat for the tafshil. You say a shahako. Ala melach, ala zamit, al kmeinu pitriot, and on those good old mushrooms and truffles, you say a shahako. A shakol on mushrooms? Are you trying to tell me that mushrooms are not called gidulei karka, Richie? Mushrooms. The tavatanya anode mi peirot haaretz, asur be peirot haaretz, umutar bechmeim upitriot. If you talk about fruit of the earth, then that's the only thing you answer on yourself. Then you can eat mushrooms. But if you say, kol gidulei karka, anything that comes, that is grown from the ground is asur on me, you can't even eat mushrooms, which makes it clear that mushrooms are considered to be gedulei karka. And if they're gedulei karka, why can't you make a bari pri adama on them? Omar, by the way, wait a second over here. Mirva rovu miara. They do grow from the ground. They obviously derive nutrients from the ground. But minke lo yanke miara, they don't have a root system. And they don't draw moisture from the ground. They can breed things that will grow from moisture that's on the ground, that has fallen on them. So there, you can't say the bari pri adama. Wait a second. It said ein gidulo min haaretz. You're trying to tell me they're not gidulo min haaretz, but it said the Farish in the Braita before. If ain't gidulo min haaretz, that asur k'meinu upitriot. Why? Okay, so change that to read davasha eno yonet min haaretz, I guess. The alaha novlot. What are novlot anyway? Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi La have an argument about this. Chadomer novlot abush lechamara. What they are, they are fruit that basically have been burned by the sun to such an extent that they no longer have a good taste.
No.
They're burned on the tree, basically. The weather was too hot, and they got ruined from the heat. So that would make sense, and we're talking about something that's a min klala, if Reviewed is referring back to them, as we'll point out in a minute. Whereas the other man, the Omer, says time of the Zika. They're basically dates that have fallen off the tree early because there was wind, and they fell off the tree. Now, wait a second. The Mishnah says Reviewed Omer, kosher hu min klala, ein levorchin alav, which seems to be referring back to all of the previous things mentioned in the Mishnah, the gobai and the novlot included, the chometz. So if you learn, like the Man Yomer says, Bush Lechemora, that is Gamin Kalala, where the sun burns your peyrot. But Laman Yomer, time it is Zika. It's not called a min of a Kalala here. So why would that be called ala Kalala? I mean, Enoch Nami, according to him, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't referring to that. He was referring to the other cases. He didn't say all of the above cases are min klala. He just said, on a min klala, we don't make a bracha. He could yamri. Others read this like this. Fish, lame laman yama bush lechem ora, hainu de mevorkin ala yashakol. On the contrary. The man yama who holds that they're fruit. It's just that they're not the highest quality fruits. Okay, so at least I make a shakol. According to Laman yama, it says, time it is Zika. Shakol? I understand, they're regular fruit. I mean, who cares if they're not completely developed? I mean, you should say a bari pri by life of ruche. Ooh, that's true. I mean, before we said bishiyotiyu, that's really early on. So tamid zika are fruit. You're right. Sorry. Novlot, actually, in general, novlot for sure mean bushli chamar. They're overly ripened. Keep pligim in novlot tomorrow. Well, actually, we got confused. There is a Mishnah in Demai that refers to novlot, but not just plain novlot, but rather novlot tamara calls them. Novlot tamara, indeed, are tamarim. There we have the shita that it's a reference to tamarim that have blown off the tree. What am I referring to? I'm referring to a Mishnah in Demai where it says hakalim shet b'demai. There's various species that the Chachomim were making on. They said, even if you buy it from an Amaretz, these things are so cheap and so no food that, I mean, even an Amaretz is going to take off Meiser from them. It's almost worthless. Why not? You know, normally we're afraid the financial loss is overwhelming. These are Kalim Shebidmai, such as Shitin, or Rimin, or Ozardin, or Benot Shoach, or Benot Shikma, or Gufnin, or Nitsa, or Noblot Tamara. Now, here's where we have the machloket, because what are all of these things anyway? Shitin, so starting from the beginning, Rabbi Barachana explains in Rabbi Yochanan's name, it's a type of a te'ina. Rimin are what's called in Aramaic candy. Ozardin is what's called tulshi, it's a type of little berry. Benot sholach, said Rabbi Barachana, Rabbi Yochanan, those are called te'ini chivarti, those are a whitish fig that are never, not really all that tasty. Benot shikma, Rabbi Barachana, what's Rabbi Yochanan is saying, this is a reference to dubli. Gufnim are actually from the vine, but they're shile gufni. They appear at the very end of the season. They never ripened. Parcha, the natspa is parcha, what we talked about, the caper berries, or the whatever the parcha was earlier. Novlot mara, years where we got mitzvah. This was the machlokas between Rabbi Lon and Rabbi Zera that we quoted on our Mishnah, where it never was a machlokas on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah never mentioned novlot tomorrow, mentioned novlot. So our Mishnah definitely was the sunburned fruit. And where we're talking about the Kalim Shebidmai, that's where Chad Amar Bushle Kamara, but Chad Amar Tamid Azike. You know, actually, if you hold like the Madi Amar Bushle Kamara, I understand why it says about Kalim Shebidmai that all of these cases, if it's your Misupak, if someone took off Meiser, so it's Potter. But if it would Mashmautin, Havada Anchaya, if you knew for a fact that he never Meiser them, you'd have to take off Meiser, of course. If the Din is referring to Tamid Azike, why would Vada'an be Chayav? They're only Hefker. Because things that are blown off the tree, we have an assumption of Yiyush Ba'alim, because anybody can come along and pick them up. And therefore, they're not Chayav and Maisa for another reason. They're not Chayav because they're Hefker anyway. And therefore, to include them under the Kalim Shebidmai, where the only reason we're being Mako is because we assume the owner has Maisered them. But if we know for a fact they aren't Maisered, you're going to tell me that Tamid Azika are included in that. They are not included in that. Because Tamid Azika, if I know for a fact we're never Maisered, I don't have to Maiser them because they're Potter anyway. We'll have to say, according to that Mandi Omar, that it's talking about you collected an awful lot of these things and made a pile of it.
Why what?
Ah! That is a brilliant question. And fortunately, we have with us here many people who have been attacked in the past by aliens. What?
I know.
It's amazing how often people do this, yeah. Isn't it? You know, I mean, life is wonderful until we just make piles of it, and then it happens. So over here he made a gorin, and Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan quotes now Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as saying that even though an ani, who's collected leket, shikha, and peah, generally speaking, these things are not chayav in Meisa, if he makes a pile of it and turns it into a gorin, actually, he now has to take off maser from it. So that would have to be the case if you're over talking about the time of the Zike. Now, there's another way in which we ask the opposite question. That would explain the language. Why do we, in Demai, we say one thing, and in Brachot, we say another thing? Because we're talking about two different things. Novlot in Brachot is Bushli Chamara. Novlot in Tamara is Tamar Dezike. Okay, now I understand. So according to him, it's kind of the Halkikarle Novlot Tama. Was there in Demai, they called him Novlot Tamara. But according to Mani Omar, holds that even Novlot Tamara are also Bushli Chamara, then they're the same thing as the Novlot and the Mishnah in Brachot. And make up your mind. Are these Novlot or are they Novlot Tamara? So then, nunitne idi novlot tvara, o idi veidi, excuse me, novlot stoga. How do you want to refer to this? Kasha. All right, that's a problem. It's obviously not a fatal problem, because you can easily see the way out of that, right? Because, I mean, over here in Brachot, we're trying to refer to a concept. Over there, we're referring to a list of species. And the list of species, we're going to be mentioning the Tamara, because that's where this occurs very often. When it comes to Brachot, the concept can be applied to anything that was in that particular... whatever would be the equivalent thing, if it's burned or not. Well, we're not going to Mandi Omar. We'll hold that Bushli Kamara.
They're all
Bushley. So Bushley tomorrow, there would be other things certainly you could imagine would be damaged by the sun. Tomorrow morning, gentlemen, and don't forget it's Rosh Chodesh, which means we begin a bit later, 8:25. For Richie, we begin at 8:10. For David Solomon, we begin at 8.